This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you're in our audience, that you've tuned us in, and we trust that the program will bless you, encourage you, and perhaps even challenge you. For those of you who would like to contact me, you can go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. That's one word, lowercase, BDC Ministries. You can use the email address or the postal address that's given there, and the program can be re-listened to there. You can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. That address again is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849, and we would love to take prayer requests or comments on the program. Now, again, we are presently going through a study of the Ten Commandments. Many people feel that they're going to get to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments, and yet when we come to the New Testament, we find out that the Ten Commandments were given to help us understand that we are sinners and that we need a sacrifice for our sins. And even in the Old Testament, they had sacrifices of different natures for different sins and different days of when they recognized their sin, the Day of Atonement in particular, which, as I understand it, probably happened this week with regard to the Jewish community. And they needed sacrifices for their sins. The New Testament tells us that if we keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, we're guilty of breaking the whole law. It's a constitution that stands or falls as a unit, and none of us can honestly say that we have kept the Ten Commandments. And that's why we're so glad that we are under a new covenant. And Hebrews 8 and 9 both tell us that that new covenant is a covenant of the heart, and it's a covenant that's established by faith. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please God. And so the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus is the faith that he has died for us. He loves us and he's died for us. And he's borne the punishment that we deserved. That makes us, that gives us a salvation that's available, but it does not make that salvation, it does not make it ours until we put our faith in what the Lord has done. And we can't do that until we're convinced that this Bible tells us the truth and that this Bible is the guide for not only coming to know the Lord as Savior, but our guide as to how to honor him after we have. Now, as we look at these Ten Commandments, the first thing we looked at was the fact that we're not to have any other gods other than, in this case, it would be Jehovah in the Old Testament, who's manifested by Jesus in the New. The Word, that is the Lord Jesus, became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so that's who we worship. We worship the Father through the Son, and the Holy Spirit guides us in that worship. And so we're not to have graven images. That a graven image could lead us to believe that the image has power in itself. It's not just a representation of something, but it has power in itself. But God is spirit, and so God has asked us not to have graven images and not to worship them and not to be tempted to let a graven image have power that only he should have. So we aren't to have graven images, and we're supposed to reverence the name of God. And we've talked about how that many people curse the name of God, but this matter of not taking the name of the Lord our God in vain goes far beyond that. It's a matter of using the name of the Lord in a reverent way at all times, keeping our promises and representing him properly when we make oaths. And really, we're only supposed to take oaths in our own name, not in the name of the Lord. But if we take an oath, we're supposed to keep it. And we're supposed to make sure that the name of the Lord is never dishonored. and that would be through our actions or through our words. But now we're coming to the command, and we've looked at the command to remember the Sabbath, and we would recognize that the Sabbath today is represented by the rest that we get when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not commanded to keep from working on Sunday, because Sunday is not the Sabbath. Now, I'm just reviewing this, but I'm all in favor of having a day of rest, and I'm all in favor of not working on Sunday. But nevertheless, most of us do work on Sunday, and we do eat out, and we do buy gas. We don't really keep the Sabbath commandment, and as some Christians think, the Saturday has become our Sunday, and we should keep Sabbath requirements on Sunday, but we don't. We just simply don't do it. And so the Sabbath rest for us is when we believe in the Lord Jesus. Come unto me. We ended up last time with that verse. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And Hebrews says, we who have believed do enter into his rest. But now we're coming to the fifth one, which is honor your father and your mother. Now, the first four are aspects of our worship of God himself. When we look at what the summary that God gives us of his commandments, he says, love God and love your neighbor. Well, the first four are designed to help us love God. But now we're going to love those around us. We're going to love our neighbor. The first one starts with honor your father and your mother. Now, when we think of honoring our father and our mother, I've heard this explained in many different ways, and often I believe they're wrong. Even when I was young, my folks used to imply that honoring your father and your mother meant that you always obeyed your father and your mother. But we'll look at the New Testament and find out that children are to obey their parents, but those of us who are adults are to honor our father and our mother, and we'll see what that really means. I have looked up this word honor in the Old Testament and in the New, and it's a little hard to put your finger on what the original word really means, because it's translated in many different ways. But you'll notice there's a promise associated with it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And again, in Deuteronomy 5, verse 16, it says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now, as I said, the word is used in different ways, and I find it difficult to understand the Old Testament use of this Hebrew word. In the New Testament, it means to prize or to value. But even in the Old Testament, we get a little indication of what honoring really means in Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6, where we read, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, and the God is asking this question, if then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. And so as we look at that, we can see that honor has to do with this matter of reverence. It has to do with a matter of respect, as we look at the Lord, and we don't. And to me, in a sense, honoring your father and your mother is much like not taking the name of the Lord our God in vain. It's only now instead of looking at God, we're looking at our parents with regard to the honor and the respect that we should be giving them. And so when we come to the New Testament, we find out that honor is looked at in a little different way than simply obey. He says in Matthew 15 and verse 3, he says, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. So it seems like honoring is the positive and cursing is the negative, or the way in which we understand what it means to really dishonor our father or our mother. Let him be put to death. But you say, whosoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you may have received from me is a gift to God. If then, then he need not honor his father or mother. Then you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. And I think the idea here is that honoring our father and our mother, as far as God was concerned, was making sure that we took care of them in old age. And so what would happen is there was a responsibility on the part of children to take care of their parents, but the children would say, the money that I was going to use to take care of you, I've donated to a worthy cause. I've donated it to God, and so I don't have the money to take care of you. And that way they're avoiding the responsibility to honor their father or their mother. Now, they had obviously no nursing homes and no social networks in those days. And so families lived together, and the younger were supposed to take care of the older. The older took care of the younger when they were children, and when the children matured, they would take care of the older. And that's the way God set things up. But if, in fact, a person did not want to take care of their parents, and if they would dedicate the money that they could have used to take care of their parents to God, we would say to charity, they were trying to get around their responsibilities. But we see that honoring here has to do with taking care of parents when they are elderly. Now, when we come to Ephesians 6, we get a little more insight on this matter of honoring your father and your mother, because this is the New Testament command by Paul. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on earth." Now, I think the idea is that when we're children, we do have a responsibility to obey our parents, but even when we get older, our responsibilities are greater. It's the responsibility to honor, as the Lord has explained to us in the Gospels. And he says this is the first commandment with promise. Well, in the Old Testament, we have an earthly people with an earthly land and earthly promises. In the New Testament, we have a spiritual people with a spiritual land and spiritual promises. And so in the Old Testament, if they would honor their father and their mother, they would be able to stay in the land and dwell there. Apparently, there's an assumption that the children would be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If we were to go down to verse 4, he says, "Then you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training." The King James says nurture and admonition of the Lord. So we can see that if the children are raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, then they are going to have a better life on this earth. And they're going to not, in the case of the children of Israel, they're not going to be dispersed, for example, into Babylon and into Assyria. They're not going to be taken captive if they honored their father and their mother. And I think that assumed that their father and their mother would train them up in the traditions and in the faith that they should really have embraced themselves. And of course, that faith would have to be embraced personally. So the family represents the church, and God is the Father. Honoring father and mother should mean that the blessings of worshiping Jehovah as the Lord are honored. And so really the family unit is important here, and it's a picture of the church and the church as a family. And there's a matter of order in that situation. We are to honor our father and our mother, and in doing that, we are honoring God himself, and we are going to be blessed practically, but more than that, there's going to be a spiritual blessing as we learn what pleases the Lord, and what really pleases him is when we trust in his Son. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon those who have listened and upon anything that has been of thyself, as we give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.